boy, did that game suck. Which game? Well, the last three, really. But I'll tell you what doesn't suck. Partnering with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. 865-540-8300 or online at garzalaw.com. 24/7, 365, you can get in touch with someone either on the phone or on the chat. 865-540-8300, garzalaw.com. Knoxville's premier DUI, criminal, and personal injury lawyers. Let Marcos and his team get you the best result possible in your case. Let's get to the episode.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass. He can't do math. He's an idiot. He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 on this point when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch Gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch. It is Thursday, February 9th. I'm sad, but Seth's in Alabama, and he's here to make me happy. What's up, Seth?
Not much, John. Good to hear your voice as usual.
Yeah. I need you to lift my spirits as we come in here after another Tennessee loss.
Well, it's almost springtime. It's been 70 degrees here in Alabama today, so I don't know how the weather has been. Actually, I think that the weather has not been that good in Knoxville after watching the Tony Vitello VolQuest interview where it was like wet and cold.
I will say today was pretty good, a little windy, but and not a lot of sun, but the temperature was good.
It's almost springtime.
Great. Can't wait to sneeze my head off.
Which means it's almost summer.
Actually, the allergies haven't been as bad since I left the farm, to be honest. I think I'm okay now. But it is almost summer, which means...
I would suggest taking a Claritin every day. Just take Claritin when you wake up first thing in the morning.
So does Claritin not work like other stuff and you build up like an immunity to it?
I have no idea. My doctor has prescribed me, I guess she actually prescribed me Zyrtec every day, but, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't really think it matters.
I just didn't know if you built up an immunity to it, if you took it every day.
I don't know. Maybe.
My allergies aren't that bad anymore. Knock on wood.
So it's almost summer. I mean, it basically is summer.
No. I think
if you think about it.
I think the end of February is probably going to get really cold.
We're almost to the time change.
Yeah.
I actually have no idea when the time change is. I guess it's around Easter, which feels about 2 months away.
No, it's not Easter. It's usually around my birthday. Or like, yeah, it'll be like a week or two in between my birthday. So like, it'll be, my birthday's
March 12th. March 12th,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We got a month. It's almost your birthday.
Well, a month from now, yeah.
So, you know, that's another reason to be happy Tennessee has the best baseball team in the country.
I was surprised that no one picked us. No one voted for us to win the SEC.
It's dumb.
We didn't get one damn vote to win the SEC.
Did LSU get every single vote, or was there? Did Florida get some?
Yeah, I don't think LSU got every single vote. It wasn't unanimous. I don't have the list in front of me, but I'm 99% sure it was not unanimous.
I figured not. I know Florida's going to be really good, and Tennessee's the best baseball team in the country. I don't care that LSU got a bunch of transfers. I don't really care.
It looks like LSU was predicted to win with 11 votes. Florida, Ole Miss, and A&M all got a vote to win.
So who did Tennessee, was Tennessee predicted second?
They were predicted to win the East. I don't know if that means they're second or not, but like they were predicted to win the East.
Yeah. Florida's going to be good. A&M will be good. Tennessee will be better than every other team in the SEC. So I just, it's weird to me because, like, when people talk about this team, obviously they're going to talk about the three pitchers, and they should. Tennessee has the best pitching staff in the country.
The three-armed monster.
But, like, one thing we know that Tennessee does every single year is they just hit bombs. And the idea to me that that's going to change when it didn't change last year when you replaced a bunch of dudes, it's not going to change this year. Tennessee's going to have an amazing offense again because they have an amazing offensive coach in Nylander.
And we take steroids. Or HGH and quirk our bats. So the offense will be popping one way or the other.
User Shirley says, you don't have allergic symptoms if you take it every day. According to my doctor, I take it every day and haven't had allergies in 2 years.
Okay.
It's over the counter, too. It's generic, so it's cheap.
Oh, yeah, I've taken it before, and I would take it, you know, whenever it got me, whenever I, you know, it was really springing and, I was hurting. I just didn't know if you took it every single day if you developed an immunity to it.
I guess not.
You know, like with pain pills, you take one pain pill and you start, you know, and then all of a sudden you need two or three, and you know, it just, you know, you got to keep. If you're like, you know, some of our certain patrons that smoke weed or eat pizza, if you will, I mean, I've heard them talk about they got to, you know, smoke more to feel their high or something. I don't know. So I didn't know how this works. But either way, back to what you're saying about baseball.
No, they're going to be the best team in the SEC, best team in the country.
Well, that's a positive. PCO.
That's positive.
Now let's get toxic. You seem to be a lot more down on the boys than I am.
I got, like, you know, last week I was pretty.
Yeah, Saturday you were quote unquote acting like a little girl. Last night you were, and this morning you were chapped assed and in the Discord. Posting your thoughts.
Last weekend.
The Auburn game. Weren't you acting like a little girl? Didn't you delete the game thread right after the game? That's what people told me.
Oh, yeah. I was like, let's forget about this game immediately. It was ugly. I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit the second half of that Auburn game last week, I read a book for a lot of it. It was so just dreadful that I was very toxic or negative on the podcast last week. This week, I'm not nearly as negative or toxic about it because, like, it has totally and completely set in that they just, like, it is what it is. You just have to, like, there's no point in getting, like, upset about it because, like, you just don't know. You just have to hope that they, when they roll the dice, it comes up, you know, really good because it might not. And, I mean, it's they are who they are. The same issues that they've had for 2 years now. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, it's frustrating for multiple reasons. It's frustrating for me because, you know, it's what we talked about before. We don't have a go-to score. We still don't have a go-to score. I don't know if I've been spoiled, for lack of a better term, by watching Trae Young for the last couple years, who is a small guard who can throw beautiful alley-oops for dunks. But, like, watching Zakai try to play similarly to that and get in the lane and shoot floaters and throw lobs and doing so horrendously, it really, really tilts me. It makes me so sick watching those.
Yeah, he cannot throw a lob to save his life.
And, like, he's not good at the floater either. So, like, they're not coming up to try to stop the floater. Like, to throw the backdoor lob, you kind of need them to come up and try to, you know, stop your floater. And it just isn't working. The lobs are open sometimes, and he's bricking them off the backboard. Or it's just that tilted me really badly last night. And I don't want to, you know, pick on him. I don't think he's the reason we lost last night. I mean, his lobs and his floaters are third or fourth on the list of reasons we lost at best last night. But we don't have a go-to scorer. I don't trust any of our go-to ball handlers. Like, I don't trust him with the ball. Vescovy isn't fast enough or aggressive enough or crafty enough to get to the rim. Josiah is, well, he's hurt now. Do we have an update on his injury, by the way? Like, I know he, like,
I haven't seen anything.
Are they going to hold him out for Missouri and, like,
hopefully? I have no idea.
Okay. Anybody in the chat, feel free to post if they've seen any updates. And, like, we don't have, you know, people in the Discord have said we don't have anybody with dog in them on the team. And I don't know if I agree with that, but we don't have anybody that's like an alpha scorer. I fully agree with that, and I've been talking about that all year. And then, like, that coincides with my frustration number two, which is it's another year and another five-star freshman that isn't a five-star. And when I say he isn't a five-star, you know, obviously I mean he just hasn't been that special player. And, you know, we've seen flashes of it, and it looked like he was going to be for a while. You know, about a month into the season, he was averaging like 6 or 7 free throw attempts per game. And I'm like, yes, let's go. We got one of those guys who's going to put his head down and get to the rim. And then it just stopped, and he looks terrified. And it's just another five-star that's come here. And, you know, I made sure to check this year because people always argue with me at the end of the year when I point this out. Like, he was projected anywhere from 14th to 18th
Yeah.
In the draft, and now you can barely even find him on the second round of any mock draft.
Yeah, he ain't going pro. He ain't going pro.
Right, right. And I mean, sure, that might be better for Tennessee's program long-term, but it ain't better for Tennessee's program this year. It ain't better for the 2023 season. And it's just very frustrating because it's another five-star that hasn't been able to either be a five-star or just isn't that guy. I don't know. Like, I still see it with Phillips, but it's just in the Discord last night, someone said his knock, you know, coming out of high school was he wasn't aggressive enough. And, you know, you combine that with Rick Barnes and the way he rides freshmen and the way he, you know, kind of neuters his players, and it's just been a very, very bad combination. And Tennessee has played 3 bad games in a row, and it's just really frustrating.
Yeah, to me, the biggest issues are the 3 seniors.
And when you say 3 seniors, you mean Josiah, Vescovy, and
Kamwa,
okay. I didn't know if Kamwa was a senior or Urosh. I didn't know who you're talking about. Or Urosh.
Oh, I don't. Urosh is, he's not going to play anymore. Okay. So.
I never know who's a damn senior anymore either with COVID, so.
I know it. That to me is the biggest issue because, like I said it last night, like I just need Santi to hit a 3 to shoot well from 3 against a good team. Last night doesn't count because Vandy sucks. And he did shoot well from 3 last night, but guess what? He missed the free throw.
And then he left a guy wide open in the corner on a 3 that did not need to be left wide open. I know that shooter wasn't a good shooter, but still, you give up a 2 to tie versus letting them shoot a wide open shot for 3 as time expires. You don't need to triple team the guy at the rim. You're not going to block any shots over there, Santi.
Yeah,
He frustrates me. He frustrates me a lot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then you have Kamwa, like, Kamwa is just completely mystifying because, like, we know that Santi has these athletic, like, he, you know, at the end of the day, Santi is, like, he's capped athletically. But there's not that with Kamwa. Like, Zakai threw a terrible lob last night, and Kamwa caught it somehow in
3 terrible lobs in a row.
Oh, yeah. But this one in particular that Kamwa somehow was able to grab and throw. I mean, it was an unbelievable athletic feat. How many players is Kamwa going up against that are more athletic than him?
Not many.
And listen, okay, the 7th against South Carolina, he had 21 points. After that, he had 6, 2, 7, 2, 8. Then he had 27 against Texas.
He dominated Texas.
Then he's had 11, 9, and 10. He's totally mystifying. He is completely and utterly mystifying. He went 12 of 15 from the floor against Texas. He then shot 4 of 13 from the floor and 4 of 16 from the floor. The seniors, and like Josiah, like, and in these seniors' defenses, like, they never leave anything in the tank. Josiah goes out there in every game, gives it his all, but he could not hit water if he fell out of a boat last night. It was painful. It was painful. He couldn't hit anything. He didn't even look close. Vescovy, he needs to shoot well from 3 against a good team. Like, shoot well from 3 against a good team. I think he went 4 of 8 from 3 last night. That's fine, but he missed the free throw. So, you know, all the stuff that, like, we did that was stupid last night, like, yeah, Awaka fouling that dude was stupid. Julian Phillips not slamming the ball was stupid. Zakai, he can't throw a lob. He's up and down, blah, blah. Those are a 19-year-old and two 18-year-olds. You got dudes that are 22 that have been in the program for 4 years that are just no-shows. Nobody, we should never have to be run. We should never, ever, ever in 1 million years have to be feeding Tobe Awaka in the low post in the second half against a 7-foot sixth-year, 23-year-old senior who averages like 15 a game. Robbins is not a bad college player. He's 7 foot. He is built like a Greek god. Awaka cannot do anything with his left hand and is 6'8". We're feeding the ball to him because what else are we supposed to do? Nothing else was working, and Awaka is very, very skilled. But it should never come to that. Then he fouls the dude on three. Well, yeah, he's exhausted. He's playing more than he has been.
Well, that was the head-scratcher to me, is like just going from the minutes he's been getting to, you know, being in there in crunch time and playing as many minutes as he did. That was kind of crazy.
Like on, one hand, like I've said it over and over in the game threads and just on Discord in general, the only big man I enjoy outside of Kamwa, watching him play, I even said this on the Discord, the only big man I've met on the podcast is Awaka. Like, it was a great sign to me last night that Awaka was the first big man off the bench. Like, I am tired of watching Adu and Yurosh. But it is an issue that it is an issue, like you said, that he went from, like, you know, he would get like 1 or 2 minutes a game and then boom, he's in crunch time. It's kind of like, why don't we work him up to this, to where it's February? It's not February and he's, you know, why couldn't he been getting these minutes like in January?
Yeah, last night was the most minutes he's had since Austin Peay, December 21st. He got 17 minutes then, 17 minutes against Maryland the week before, and, you know, Auburn 15 minutes, one against Florida, three against Texas. So, like, yeah, it was just very strange that he went from sort of kind of in the rotation to crunch time guy and also, like, focal point of the offense. But, you know, like, I think his struggles, or, you know, what we're talking about with him in terms of Kumwa, you're looking at the points he's getting. I think it's all just connected to ultimately Zakai's just not very good at setting people up sometimes. And I know he's had, you know, some 10 assist double doubles. I get that. But, like,
It's so up or down. He had that 3-game stretch where he was absolutely unreal.
And he had 10 against Texas, and, like, you know, there's a correlation. You know, I would have to go back and watch the game to see, you know, just how much of a causation there is between Ziegler's 10 assists and Kumwa's 27. Like, obviously, Kumwa's hitting some shots, but, like, was Kumwa hitting tough shots that Zakai was dumping down, or is Zakai, like, breaking the defense down and giving him wide open looks? You know what I mean? Like, who's kind of helping each other there? Maybe it's symbiotic. Maybe both people are. But it's frustrating, and, like, this team, it was something I thought before the year, and we talked about it. Like, I thought we desperately needed another guard who could create offense. Like, I know everyone talks about scoring and needing scorers, but I would just love somebody who could help run an offense. And, like, Yuri Collins from St. Louis was maybe going to be that guy until, you know, Rob Lewis kind of tweeted it too early and got it out there, and then we got tampering charges and all that. But, like, I don't know. Like, we're a guard short, and Tyreek Key doesn't have that in him. You know, he had a good scoring game last night, but, like, all of it was in the first half, basically.
Yeah, but he just can't beat anybody off the dribble. And, the issue with Key is that he can't beat anyone off the dribble.
Oh, no, correct. That's exactly it. Like,
we have one guard that can, and that's it. And I, like,
who's
I don't
that?
Know.
Zakai?
Zakai can.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
he can beat some people
off dribble.
But then he runs into a floor.
I'm just saying, like, out of our whole team, we have one dude that can do that. That is a huge issue.
Everyone knows we're missing Kennedy Chandler and knows, you know, how special he was to last year's team. You know that we weren't going to find somebody as good as him. But you needed somebody to at least come in and be, like, 60 or 65% of him to help Zakai.
Just beat somebody off the dribble. Just having somebody that could beat someone off the dribble would be amazing. And Key cannot do it. We know that Santi cannot do it. I mean,
the only way either guy gets open is with a pump fake and, like, a sidestep. Like, they can't pump fake and drive by you and do anything. It's just a pump fake, take a dribble either to the side or up a step and shoot an open jumper. That's it.
you know, we're in year four and Josiah's never shown any interest in slashing. It's not going to start now. He is what he is. I mean,
he is what he is.
It's just, okay, like the thing about, like, Awaka had 8 points and 9 rebounds. Like, he deserved to play more. Like, his good play was rewarded with 22 minutes last night. Like, I think that's a good sign. Like, he is, like, I'll say it again. We were led to believe that he was a bull in a china shop. It could not be further from the truth. He is extremely skilled on the block. Not to mention, he's built like a fire hydrant. It's just...
He's a little taller than that.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot to ask of him out of nowhere. He's been getting under five... You know, games he wasn't even playing 5 minutes a game, like you said.
It's very strange. I'm very disappointed in Jonas. Like, it's another notch in the old belt of Rick Barnes's underdevelopment here with this program. And, like, I just don't feel like he develops players near as good as everyone acts. Like, he hasn't gotten better this year. You know what I mean? Like, there's no...
My argument about Jonas is that why was a guy out of North Carolina committed to Marquette? Why did no ACC schools want him? Before we...
I think there was a relationship there with the coach or something.
There was, and Tennessee hired him. Tennessee hired him, but like North Carolina, like Roy Williams never recruited him. None of the, you know, he ended up ranked a 5-star, but Roy Williams never recruited him. Yeah. Hubert Davis went after him at least a little bit and supposedly just botched the Zoom visit, but nobody else, and like, where all these ACC schools in North Carolina and the Carolinas, why are they not beating down his door? It always seemed to me like, you know, I don't know. If nobody's really going after you. I agree with you that in general, like, the big men, like, Yurosh has gotten better. But other than that, I mean, Kamwa's gotten better. But like you always bring up, it could be the international.
Yeah. Pons and Kamwa both went to, you know, back home and came back monsters. Or not, you know, monsters, but Pons came back a lot better whenever he was playing.
Pons came back
France.
A totally different player.
Right. Came back from playing for, you know, with France and working with their offensive coaches and came back a different player. Same as Kamwa, like him being there last year doing the whatever, I don't know if it's Olympics or FIBA or whatever, but like doing whatever he was with their national team, he came back much better.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah, Yurosh has gotten better. Well, okay, that's not good enough.
Yeah, he's not gotten, he hasn't gotten good enough where that even matters.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, good for him. He works hard. He doesn't seem to complain. He seems to be a consummate teammate. That's not good enough. You're getting paid. How many million a year is he getting paid? 6, 5? Whatever. Like, you know, I mean, and just not the, like, the thing that kills me the most is just, man, he wears, you know, he ran Jordan Bone off. You know, like, it's just, he's just so, I mean, like, Dame Bradshaw, wasn't it, like, a month ago talking about it? Or was it Jimmy Dykes? It was somebody on TV talking about, like, you know, just be a little uplifting to these guys. Just, man, like, choose joy. And I don't even know why I'm saying this. I'm screaming into the void. Rick Barnes is like almost 70. He's not changing. That's why, like, I'm not going to get, like, there's just no point in getting uptight about the games. Like, Tennessee is a top 10 to 15 basketball program. They're, what, 19-5? They're having a great year. It is what it is. Like, they just played 3 horrible games. You just got to hope that when March comes, they play 3 amazing games. And it is what it is. Like, he's not changing. They are what they are.
They were 18-6. Through 24 games last year, or through 24 games. Sorry, producer, edit that out. They were 18-6 through 24 games last year, just for reference.
And they're 19-5 this year.
Yeah, to maybe cling to some hope. I'm not as down about the losses. I'm actually been kind of surprised. Like, the Florida loss didn't really do anything to me at all. Last night, I was just like, well, that was stupid, and, like, goodbye, any chances of a 1 seed, and, like...
The Florida loss is the Florida loss, like, I was actually thinking about this in the shower yesterday. To me, the Arizona and the Florida loss are fine. Like, I don't have a problem with either of those. After the Florida loss had come and passed, and I'd sat there and thought about it, like, those two losses, to me, don't do anything. I think the issue is that It's impossible, man. It is impossible to sit there and feel good about a team. Like, it's impossible to sit there and watch them beat Auburn the way they did and feel good about it. And it's really defeating when you can't even feel good about the wins. Like, you can't even feel good about the Auburn win. It was a quad one win. Or at least I think it was. I don't know why it wouldn't be. But
it,
like,
was
you can't
at
even
the
feel
time.
Good
I don't know if it still is or not. Like, quad one at home is 1 through 30. They're like number 30 on the net ranking.
Okay.
So, like, it's been fluctuating.
Yeah. Like, it's just you can't even – to me, that's the issue. It's like, yeah, people – like, it probably is a little over the top. But, like, I don't think it would be nearly this bad if they had just, like, beaten Auburn by 20. But it's just, man, it's just – it's like pulling teeth watching this team. This team is not fun to watch at all. They are.
Well, that's what we talked about a month ago. Like I said, I didn't find this team to be very lovable. And we got some real blowback from that in terms of, you know, people.
Neither. Yeah, like we both said, like, this team wasn't as lovable as the Admiral and Grant. Like, I remember thinking.
Not only as lovable. I don't find this team. I didn't find that this team lovable even, you know, when things were good. I just don't. They don't move me like that.
Yeah, like, I just. It This team isn't even close to Grant and Admiral to me. How could it be? How could it be? They were terrible when they first started. And not only that, like, when that offense was humming with those dudes, it was beautiful. You know, I mean, they brought the program up from the dregs to being ranked number one. I mean,
it's so funny how close we were to being ranked number one. And now we're so just out. Now, here's what I'll say. I know we've maybe just been really, really negative. I don't feel as negative as it sounds. I do still think this team is going to bounce back, and I think they're going to finish 6-1. That's what I said on the radio today. Like, I think they are going to get it together. And this might come back and look really, really fucking stupid. But I think they'll beat Missouri. I think you're going to get a packed house for Alabama, and I think we're going to win that game. And I think we're going to go 6-1 down the stretch.
Who's the one loss at Rupp?
I don't know.
A&M?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who the one loss is, but 6-1 is what I think.
Brother Stair brings up that the last five games, Josiah James is 2 of 24 from three.
Yeah. Not good. Not good.
And what's like? His two games before that, he went 4 of 6 and 3 of 7. You know, we may never know. Like, his first three games this year, he went 2 of 5, 4 of 8, and 4 of 6.
There was one game in particular I remember watching recently where he just had everything rim out, though. Like, it just felt like he just couldn't bob. Like, it just couldn't get a bounce.
It's unreal how pretty his misses look most times. Last time is not the case. Last night, his shots were just, he wasn't even close on a lot of them. But typically, his shots go like all the way in and then all the way out. It's unbelievable. And yet again, Tennessee shot 3 free throws last night.
Well, that's what happens if you don't go to the rim. So, you know, you can bitch and moan about the refs and not shooting free throws, but like, we don't have guys that drive to the rim. Like, you have to put your head down and go sometimes.
Like, what is Kamwa doing? You don't get to the free throw one time? I mean, it is absurd that a Waka, who goes down there in the post and he plays American football, he doesn't get to the free throw line one time. I mean, yeah, that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. But other than that, like, we don't take it to the rack. What is Kamwa doing, dude? Go to the free throw line.
Kamwa is a finesse player that needs a point guard to set him up. He needs to hit the pick and pops. He needs to get in the post and hit his fadeaways. He's not an aggressive, put you in a basket type of guy. Just kind of is what it is. The Gramco is a presenting sponsor of Reed's Ranch. What is the Gramco? Well, it is your go-to destination for all your Delta 8 needs. Gramco currently offers numerous Delta 8 products and merchandise, including Wake and Bake Delta 8 coffee, Delta 8 disposable vapes, Delta 8 gummies, the fruit punch is my favorite, and Delta 8 quick mix, pre-rolls, and my favorite, hard candies, some big orange hard candies. Go to thegramcode.com, browser selection, use the promo code BALLS25 for 25% off your order, and then you get free standard shipping for orders over $50, and that shipping is quick and discreet. Must be 21 or older. Gramco offers you an enjoyable, legal high delivered discreetly and directly to you. TheGramCo.com. TheGramCo.com. Let's get to some Patreon questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. No new patrons. Let's move on.
Brother Brizzy asks, what will it take for you to want to fill up former Rick and spin the wheel?
I don't know. Where are you at on the Fire Rick Barnes scale? Because it seems wild that that question's asked. I mean, I don't...
I am not on it at all.
I would probably, if we don't start playing better in this, if we go 2-5 down the stretch and, you know, end up playing on Thursday in the SEC tournament and then lose in the first round, if this has an Oregon State ending to it, that would have me ready to spin the wheel.
Yeah. To me, I agree with that. It would have me want to spin the wheel too. To me, the big issue is that it is completely and totally infeasible. The only way that any of this happens is if Rick says, you know what, I want to go hang out with my grandkids, and hangs it up. That's the only way anything's going to happen. They're not firing them because, like, the people that listen to this podcast are not normies.
They're great people. They're smart people. I'll put our fan bases' IQs up against anybody's fan bases.
But the normies still love Rick Barnes. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing or whatever. I'm just saying, like, Rick Barnes isn't getting fired. Okay, Tennessee is 19-5 and ranked in the top 10. He's not getting fired.
There are two versions of normies, though. No. I disagree there. I think half the normies love Rick Barnes. The other half of normies are, you know, ultra Tennessee football fans and want chaos and want to bitch and be mad. So, like, I can't say that the normies, like, love Barnes. I think that half the normies are split. I think people are optimistic or pessimistic.
Yeah, it's just so infeasible to me. Like, he's not getting fired. They're not spinning the wheel. The only way Tennessee has a new coach next year is Rick decides he wants to hang out with his grandkids, or, God forbid, he dies.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that is the truth. I mean, I don't want that to happen. Nobody wants that to happen. But, I mean, that's the only way it's happening. Unless, like, some crazy cheating scandal comes out. But, I mean... Rick Barnes ran like a feeder school out of Las Vegas, Nevada to Texas for years and years and never got caught cheating. He ain't gonna get caught cheating now. D-Rob asks, final regular season record prediction for basketball. John said 6-1.
Add 6 wins to the total and add 1 loss to the total. That's my answer, D-Rob.
25-6.
Correct.
That's a 2 seed, right?
I would think so, especially with a win over Alabama. And, you know, if you get a win at Rupp or Auburn.
Yep. I'll go 5-2. Brother Dan asks, what is your favorite Super Bowl prop bet?
I haven't actually looked at them. Sorry, Brother Dan. I'll get in the lab and I'll answer that question in the Discord, but I haven't really given much thought to the Super Bowl this year so far. Miles, Travis Kelce touchdown. Like, just bet on Travis Kelce to do everything. He's going to get his yards. He's going to score a touchdown. He's just a monster. But I do like, I do think Miles Sanders, I like his overs. I don't know if that really counts as a Super Bowl prop and, like, you know, one of the fun ones that are Super Bowl only, but, like, I think Miles Sanders will run the ball and he'll probably score a touchdown too. Travis Kelce at 16-1 to win MVP. I can see him giving like a game he had against whoever they played in the first round of the playoffs when he had like 14 catches. Anyway,
the Jags, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jags. When he had like 14 catches.
Yeah,
16-1 is pretty good odds on that. What's your excitement level for the Super Bowl?
Very low. The Super Bowl is always boring to me.
Yeah, me too.
True football fans, to me, at this point, you set your eyes on Labor Day. The last great day of football is over until the regular season starts back up. The Super Bowl is boring to me. It is pretty much always boring.
The Super Bowl and the national championship in football and college football always kind of an afterthought for me. It's a long layoff.
Yeah. To me, the beauty of football is when you just have games stacked on games, stacked on games, stacked on games. It's just, you know, you're an addict and you're just mainlining American football into your veins.
As opposed to European football.
This is just, it's boring. I'm sorry, it's boring. Okay, okay, cool. We get to see Patrick Mahomes win another Super Bowl. Man, awesome.
I am excited for Rihanna, though.
Is she doing halftime?
She is.
Okay, so Chris Stapleton is doing national anthem.
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not letting Chris Stapleton go up there and play the guitar for the halftime Super Bowl. Not that he wouldn't be good, but I don't think
I did really like the Jaguars having Derek Trucks and his wife, Susan Tedeschi, do the national anthem for their home game against the Chargers. That was very, very good. So, yeah, Rihanna, I mean, that's cool, I guess. Brother Reese asks, is this the greatest Tennessee basketball team you've seen in your lifetime?
No, it's not.
I would like to take us all back to the halcyon days of Boomer asking if we would lock in 29-2.
Well, I think you gotta.
those were the glory days.
Look, I will say that this is the last time I'm going to pay attention to metrics in college basketball.
If this team goes we gotta talk about this.
Number one, best defense ever, and best Tennessee team on paper, and blah blah blah, and they like flame out, then I'm over it. I'm not. It'll probably change the way I keep up with Tennessee basketball, honestly. I'll probably turn into one of those haters. I don't know. Maybe not. I'm not a hater.
No, you're just going to – look, okay.
I don't want to be a wait-until-March guy, but
– no, you're not going to be that either. You're just going to be an eye test, dude. This is the thing. I had multiple patrons yesterday text me. One is my best friend, Luke, and the other is Brother Jonathan Toy, a former journalist who – you know,
saw the light.
He turned from his ways. They both texted me, and he said they both said, basically, paraphrasing, you know, we were told over and over how dumb we were for not thinking how amazing this team was and how this was the greatest team ever by the journalist. And it turns out, guess what? The fans were right.
Don't take the victory lap yet.
No, it's just, you know, like fans. This is the thing, like.
A three-game sample in 35 games. Just hold on. Slow down. This team can still accomplish some things, Seth.
Oh, I still don't think that if they turn it on, it doesn't really, to me, it doesn't really change the fact that, like, people, they see what they see. I mean, like, the metrics say what they are, but, like, we sit down on our couch on Wednesday nights and Saturday afternoons, and we watch this team not be able to make a basket. Like, it's great that the defense is good, but you have to score points to win the game. And it's just like, you know, the fans were right. They were right. Maybe things change. I hope things change. I hope that Wes Rucker can take his victory lap and that I am in Houston watching Tennessee play in the Final Four. I hope that he can take his victory lap as I'm in wherever the regionals are, watching Tennessee cut down the nets to go to the Final
Four.
Well,
hold on. Let's not start talking about Wes Rucker victory laps, because no. His point was how this team's not beloved. Like, the team can end up still being really good or even great compared to their competition this year. But like we've been talking about, the beloved part of it and fans getting excited about the brand of basketball, like, those to me aren't necessarily the same thing.
No, they're not. But I thought that, like, the ones that were talking about the fans was I thought it was Rucker and
Mike Wilson, I believe is his name.
It was Mike Wilson.
But I'm pretty sure, and I might be wrong, I'm blocked on Twitter, but I thought Rucker was talking about how this team, how people aren't, you know, more excited and, like, loving the team more.
Not so much beating the drum
that, like, hey, this team is so great, it's so awesome.
The lovable angle by Rucker is so weird to me. Has this team walked into Rupp and won?
This team beat Kansas in a ballroom.
Have they swept Kentucky? I didn't think so. They haven't gone to Rupp and won. They haven't gone to Rupp and beat a top 10 Kentucky team. They haven't just, like, it's so crazy to me. Like, this team right here, they laid an egg against the one rival in basketball that matters above all others. There is one team that is at the forefront of every Tennessee fan's mind, and it's Kentucky. And they laid a complete egg. So, yeah, no kidding they're not as lovable.
Now, Grant and Admiral laid some eggs against Kentucky, too. I remember going in there and getting smacked when we were the number one team in the country. Now, it was a better Kentucky team, I'll also say that, but...
Sure, they also, they won at home.
Sure, but if we go in there and beat Kentucky at Rupp...
Then maybe they will end up as lovable. But I'm saying, like, but I'm talking about, I can't predict the future, John. I'm talking about the current time. You agree that this team isn't as lovable.
I'll tell you, well, I know, but I'm just saying, let's just slow down on losing to Kentucky. We got one more game, but also, Keon Johnson went in there and flopped his dick out in Rupp, and I still hate that team more than almost any team I've ever followed.
Yeah, no doubt. But I'm just talking about as a one game, like, they want to know, like, why this team isn't. Like, this team, that the Grant Admiral did something Chris Lofton couldn't do. They swept Kentucky. Like, I mean, they were terrible when Admiral Schofield was a freshman. By the time Admiral Schofield was a senior, they were ranked number one in the nation. Like, this idea that they should be as lovable as that? Like, I think a lot of people love Josiah James.
Not anywhere near.
No, but why would they? Why would they love? That's my point. Like, this lovability discourse is stupid to me. It's stupid. It's dumb. Like, you know,
it all changes if you win when it matters, because the 2014. Iteration of the Vols was, you know, one of the most frustrating teams ever. Underachievers, petition, all those things. But I feel like everyone kind of fell in love with that team when they started winning. I remember being pretty gutted when Jarnell Stokes got called for a charge. And like, being, oh man, not going to get to watch him play basketball again. Jordan McRae. And you're just kind of like, you know, you kind of fell in love. Last year's team was not fun either, Seth, until Texas, and then like
until after Texas game.
Yeah, and then finally Kennedy.
Agree totally.
Finally, Kennedy Chandler snapped out of Barnes trying to neuter him. He got off the table and grabbed his nuts and put them back on and said, "Okay, never mind. I'm going to do this." And then that team became pretty lovable.
I agree completely. I mean, I agree completely with both those points. The tournament is a very harsh mistress. Like, it sucks because that team with Trey Golden and them were absolutely abysmal to watch. I mean, they were atrocious to watch, but they... Did you ever go back and look at that bracket, how absurd it was that UMass was a 6 seed?
I don't think Trey Golden was there anymore. I think he had already gotten ran off for...
Oh, yeah, it was Barton. It was Antonio Barton.
He got ran off for the whole...
But that...
Team... Yeah, UMass as a 6 seed was laughable. That was the one time we finally got a good draw, even after we had to play in the play-in game, which people were mad about because they thought we had deserved a spot automatically, but Iowa was our real first-round opponent.
Yeah.
As far as, like, you know, rationality goes.
Yeah, and then Mercer beats Duke. I mean, it was a very fortuitous draw. I hope we get a fortuitous draw this year. I hope we get the luckiest draw of all time. And I will laugh and point at all the haters as we go to a Final Four that talk about it, because it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Nobody remembers the draw. What they remember... It's cutting down the nets.
I thought a big problem with the early season lack of interest was just the regular season schedule was so boring. Like, we kept waiting to get to this part of the SEC schedule to finally have some excitement.
I wonder how much football played a part in it.
A lot, because, yeah, people are still buzzing about that. The Orange Bowl, I mean, obviously went to January, so.
Football was really, really good, finally, for the first time in over a decade. Football was really, really good. It just... I mean, it is what it is. Like, I can't complain because basketball meant less to me going into the season because football was awesome.
This team will be remembered for what it does from this point on. The next 7 games, I don't even know if people really care about the SEC tournaments, but, like, March. Like, it's from now until the end of the season. Like, this is kind of what people remember about it one way or the other.
I will care about the SEC tournament when the committee tells me that I should.
Yeah, like I'm glad we got the nets cut down last year to end the drought, but yeah, I mean I care much less this year too.
You know, like why should we care? Last year didn't do us any good. We got stuck as a 3 seed. Last question, and then I'm gonna get off and go get something to eat.
Make it a good one.
Brother, this is for you specifically. Brother Ron Shannon asks, was Adele snubbed at the Grammys?
You know, Ryan, I got to be honest, when it comes to the Grammys, I have been just so just beaten down and upset and just really trying to block it out of my memory just from what Sam Smith did with that devil stuff that I haven't even really thought about Adele getting snubbed. I got to say no just because I didn't really like the album. Easy on Me is a bop. So, like, what did Easy on Me lose, Seth? It was up.
It lost record of the year.
It lost to. Was that to Lizzo?
That was to Lizzo.
It's About Damn Time. I mean, It's About Damn Time's kind of a bop, but like, I think Easy on Me is better overall. But like, I can't say it was snubbed. But the album in general,
it lost Song of the Year.
Song of the Year is different. Okay, song. What won Song of the Year?
It lost both.
Okay, what was Song of the Year? Who won Song of the Year?
Bonnie Raitt.
Okay, I've never heard that song. What song does she have? She's the old woman.
Just Like That.
Is it good?
Just Like That. I don't know.
Because Song of the Year is basically song lyrics, right? Record of the Year is everything. Like, is it a bop? Like, is it catchy? Is it a bop? Does it move you? But Song of the Year is supposed to just be lyrics mostly. Bonnie Raitt. What was the name of the song? Just Like That?
Just Like You.
Just Like You?
Just Like That. Just Like That. Just Like That. Just Like That. Yeah.
Just Like That lyrics. Let's see what Bonnie's talking about. I watched him circle around the block. Finally stomped at mine. Took a while before he knocked. Like all he had was time. Excuse me, ma'am. Maybe you can help. These directions weren't so clear. I'm looking for Olivia Zand. They said I might find her here. Who the hell is Olivia Zand? Coming by surprise. Gave me ease right in his eyes. And just like that, life can change. My boy still might be with me now. Okay, I gotta go listen to this song. But I will say that,
you know, "Angel from Montgomery" by Bonnie Raitt is about the best country music song of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great song.
So, you know, I don't know if "Just Like That" is good, but.
And just like that, your life can change. No knife can carve away the stain. No drink can drown regret. They say Jesus brings you peace and grace. Well, he ain't found me yet. I mean, it sounds catchy. Nah. I'll listen to it. I can't believe I didn't listen to it yet. But no, Adele didn't get snubbed. I did like Easy on Me, though, but the album wasn't good enough. Seth, I love you. I'm excited to go down and lay down here for a second, recompose. I feel like my blood pressure's through the roof. I actually wasn't mad about the game until having this conversation with you, so it felt good to get some of that stuff out.
It always feels good. It feels good. I love you.
I love you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
See ya. Do you really want to fall in love? Hey, do you really want to settle down? Or are you happy just to mess around? Do you really want to fall in love? Hey, do you really want to find the one? Or are you happy just to leave me on? Do you really want to fall in love? Fall in love.